Hi, it's Simon with The Edge Show, and we're here at TechEd Amsterdam, TechEd Europe. I'm here with Matt McSpirit. Matt, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do.
Hello, I'm Matt McSpirit, and I'm a Senior Product Marketing Manager at Microsoft in the US.
And what is your technology? Why are we speaking with you today?
So, I don't really have a technology specifically, but I focus on the technical analysis of our competitors' products, specifically VMware. And I help our field, our employees, our partners, customers, and IT pros understand just how Microsoft's technologies compare and contrast and help them make more informed decisions about future directions of their IT.
Great. So we speak a lot about this multi-hypervisor management, especially with System Center 2012. What exactly does that mean?
So multi-hypervisor management specifically is one element of our core pillars of our private cloud story. Cross-platform from the metal up, enabling organizations to embrace a very heterogeneous environment for their private cloud. And specifically with hypervisors, it's talking about Virtual Machine Manager, key component of System Center 2012, managing not only Hyper-V, which it does brilliantly, as you would expect, but also managing Citrix Xen Server and VMware vSphere 4.1.
Now, we've managed VMware in the past, but our management to Citrix, that's new. Could you just give us a brief overview of what are the capabilities that VMM has in 2012?
Yep, so when it comes to managing Xen Server 6, we enable the management from Virtual Machine Manager without the need to use Xen Center, which is Citrix's management console, if you will. You'll still use Xen Center to do the initial setup, configuring all your LUNs, attaching stuff together, and just that initial config. Once you've done that, you can bring in Xen Server into VMM and manage it natively, just like you would Hyper-V, but without some of the granularity you would get through managing Hyper-V. But you can still do all of the creation, the management of day-to-day of VMs, Xen motion of VMs around, which is their live migration of VMs, and the management of templates and so on. So it does give you that centralized view of Hyper-V and Xen Server.
That's great. And could you give us an overview of what are the features that we have around managing VMware with Virtual Machine Manager?
Yep, so with VMware, we again manage the day-to-day operation of a vSphere infrastructure. So you bring in your ESXi and your clusters, if you will, and then we enable that management of the VMs. So creation, vMotion, storage vMotion, the usual stuff that vCenter admins are used to on a day-to-day basis. We'll manage the resources around the VMware host. So for example, if you want to optimize the placement of your virtual machines from A to B, host A to host B, we'll manage and enable all of that as well. So we're really enabling an organization to get a grip on their vSphere infrastructure side by side with other hypervisors in that heterogeneous environment, if you will.
So what's the goal? What are the benefits to the IT pro to be able to manage all of these different hypervisors through VMM?
Yeah, I think there's a commonly used term when we talk about System Center, and it's a single pane of glass.
Single pane of glass.
And it sounds very cheesy, but in reality, what we're trying to do is bring in different environments into one view, or at least a reduced set of views. Because if you've got a vSphere environment and a Hyper-V, and you may have good reason to have that, then having those two separate consoles means you're flicking between them, even if you're just doing day-to-day tasks. So for the IT pro, we want to bring those together to enable them, a common set of commandlets in the form of PowerShell, which if they're looking to automate, having that single set of commandlets to do migration of VMs, whether it's VMware or Hyper-V, is really powerful, and that's just one example of the commandlets that exist. So bringing them into one view and enabling an organization to see all of their VMs, all of their resources, and build private cloud, so pooling of resources on top of that mixed fabric, is very, very useful for the IT pro, and I think it's a differentiator in the market for Microsoft.
Now, one of the biggest features I've heard about with VMM 2012 is dynamic optimization. Mm-hmm. Can you just give an overview of what exactly that is and how that works with our multi-hypervisor management story as well?
Yep, so dynamic optimization is a feature within VMM. It's a free feature that enables organizations to more optimally utilize their fabric and their hosts specifically. So what's happening when virtual machines are running on your cluster, for example, is VMM's analyzing what's going on in that environment, looking at the CPU, the memory, the disk, the network, all the stuff that's active in that environment, and it's thinking, you know what? I could better move that virtual machine from A to B on this cluster, and that would overall give us a better boost in resources. And we'll do that every couple of minutes, we'll move stuff around if it's going to give a benefit overall. And the beauty of dynamic optimization and the algorithms and the knowledge that's gone into it is it's not just about moving VMs on Hyper-V, it's about applying that same knowledge and those metrics to VMs on vSphere clusters and also Xen Server-based clusters as well. So you get get that common set of metrics and algorithms that you don't have to worry about as the IT pro. It's all under the covers. You just say, I want to turn it on, I want it to be this aggressive, and I want to make benefits based on my configurations that I've got. And that's what you'll see, great movement and no interruption to the VMs, which is good.
Now, we had a feature like that in the previous version, known as performance and resource optimization. That also required operations manager, though. Toby, what's the difference with dynamic optimization here?
So DO, to give it its acronym, is just a VMM feature. It doesn't require any operations manager. And we often saw with IT pros that there was a little bit of complexity around linking VMM and ops manager together.
The integration pieces,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was straightforward to do, but sometimes it didn't give the desired results that you were looking for, and sometimes it didn't have the intelligence around that cluster movement that we wanted it to have. So DO really focuses on the Hyper-V and the virtual machine specifically, but Pro hasn't gone away. So if you do want to still integrate VMM and Ops Manager, Pro is still in there. It's still a capability you can turn on and enable. And what it gives is a more granular alternative as well to DO, but they complement one another. So where we have our management pack framework in Ops Manager, where we're able to monitor our key workloads, our applications, our fabric, our storage, whatever it may be, the management pack producers, our partners, can build Pro capability into those. So for example, if a HBA was getting flooded, or a physical server had a power supply that was missing, the knowledge in that Pro-enabled management pack would trigger movement of VMs. So you've got load balancing, which is dynamic optimization, and then the Pro, which is giving you some more granular remediation type movements, again, with no downtime. So it's a very much a hand-in-hand best of both worlds if you can do it.
Great. Now, you mentioned that there was some dependency on having vCenter in the environment. Could you talk a little more about why we have that and what versions we support?
Yep. So there's a common misconception out there around Virtual Machine Manager in the previous release and now in 2012 that it replaces vCenter. And that's not what we're aiming to do. I talked before about day-to-day management of your infrastructure, Zen Server, Hyper-V, VMware. That's what we're aiming to do with VMM, and going through vCenter is the only API we can have exposed to enable us to do that. We can't circumvent vCenter and pull the strings directly on ESXi.
You can't directly speak to those ESX hosts.
No, exactly right. No, so we go through vCenter and we pull the strings from there, but we don't replace it. We don't make changes that are going to be to the detriment of vCenter. It's very much a working in tandem with vCenter. So templates is a good example. When we import templates into VMM from vCenter, the old way of doing it is we moved everything, copied it and moved it and held it in VMM. Now we just point to it in VMM, so it stays within the vSphere environment. So when we're deploying a VM, we're just referring to that template that exists in the vSphere environment. So we just pull in like the metadata, if you will. So it's a much more integrated way of managing it. It's just aimed to do that day-to-day job.
And currently we support, what is it, version 4.1?
Yes.
Do we have future plans to move to the latest version?
Yeah, version 4.1 is what will enable you to support bringing into VMM today in the release version 2012. We do get a lot of questions of, well, do you not support vCenter 5, which is a more recent release, and it's been around for a little while. But don't forget, when we get access to vCenter and vSphere, it's at the same time the public do, so pretty much at launch. So that's when our development really can focus on integrating in, and it just didn't fit within our release cycle in order to integrate it with 2012. So hence, it will come in a future release, but for now, it's focused on vCenter 4.1 and whatever vCenter 4.1 can manage from an ESX and ESXi host perspective.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting, but of course, you know, private cloud is the hot topic. That's what we're always talking about. Mm-hmm. And one of the big components of that is self-service.
Yes.
Now, Microsoft's just released a, I guess you'd say, brand new self-service experience.
Yep.
With System Center 2012 App Controller. Can you just give an overview of what exactly that is and how that fits in with VMware management?
Yep. So when it comes to self-service, Virtual Machine Manager itself does enable you to create self-service user roles, and they can log into the console and access a limited set of functionality, but you still may not want to give access to the full to the VMM console for that type of user. You may have application owners who just want to see what's important to them, which is their apps and services. An App Controller enables us to deliver that rich Silverlight-based platform for those users to log in with their AD credentials, that common identity, and access just what's important to them, their apps, deploy them into their private clouds that they've been given by IT. So it's just that simplified, rich, intuitive interface that enables that app owner to access and deploy.
Well, we are live. I guess we'll wait for this one to wrap up.
Please return to your staffing area at the
You can tell we're at a real conference here, not a soundstage. Too bad, huh? Well, sorry, back to App Controller. Tell us, how does it fit in with VMware?
So how it fits in with VMware, we talked about VMM managing VMware vSphere, Hyper-V, and Zen Server as those hypervisors. And VMM does a great job of bundling together all of that fabric, pooling it into private clouds, and what you present to App Controller is the private cloud. So the admin, or the more specifically the application owner who's interested in deploying a new service into this private cloud, they don't care whether it's running on vSphere, Hyper-V, Zen Server. You could even have a multi-tiered application of three VMs, where one is Hyper-V, one is vSphere, and one is Zen Server. So it just abstracts it away, but it allows you as the admin to present what could be a pure vSphere fabric through to this self-service portal environment, and it's incredibly rich and intuitive.
That's great. Now let's talk about some of the other components as well. Operations Manager, one of definitely the most popular utilities or components of System Center 2012. Mm-hmm. How do we monitor VMware?
Good question. So when you're monitoring VMware natively with Ops Manager, you would need VMM integrated. So you would bring in VMM into Ops Manager, and it would allow us to see some visibility, a little bit of visibility, into what's going on in that vSphere estate. But if you want the real nuts and bolts understanding of what's going on, so for example, seeing your memory utilization within VMs from a memory over commit perspective, or seeing right down in the data stores and so on in your VMware environment, that's when we partner with Veeam. Because the Veeam management pack, or the NWorks management pack as some people know it, will enable that deeper level of integration and knowledge, because it's been built by these guys and these guys know VMware. And the management pack is incredibly rich and granular, and it's, if you've got Ops Manager and you've got VMware in your environment, it's a no-brainer to take it on board, and you could try it out and see just what metrics and the granularity it goes to, and it's pro-enabled, like we talked before, so it can bring about movement of VMs. So it's one of the best examples of a management pack that I've seen. It's incredibly granular.
Right. Well, another component of private cloud has to be automation.
Yes.
Tell us about Orchestrator. Give us that 1 minute overview and tell us, how does Orchestrator fit in with VMware?
So as you said, automation is the key to reducing costs in the private cloud. And Orchestrator is that runbook automation that's allowing you to gel together heterogeneous or mixed technologies to deliver a more automated infrastructure. And with vSphere, we provide in the box an integration pack, which we're just updating when we come to Service Pack 1 of System Center 2012 to give you more activities. But ultimately what it's giving you is little pockets of workflow that you combine together almost Visio style, just drag it on the canvas, link things together. And if you can think about how you would automate something, if this happens, then I would move this virtual machine, or I'd create a new one from a template, or whatever it would be. And you think, I do that manually today, you could automate that in Orchestrator. And it could take tickets from Service Manager that were raised from an alert in Operations Manager, trigger a workflow that could then create a new virtual machine from a specific template in vCenter, and then deploy that into a private cloud that's managed by VMM and accessed through App Controller. You know, there's loads of different ways you can build this automation, but it's the way we do that is through the integration packs that really allow us to plug in and feed data between these different systems in a very intuitive and lack of scripting way, which is important.
I mean, you really hit on one of the big advantages of the System Center suite. That's the end-to-end integration across all the products, throughout the stack, from the metal, the servers, the OS, the virtual machines, and those applications throughout. So certainly something I've heard a lot of very positive feedback about. Yep. The products came out at the same time. They all fit together really
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. And that's something that we got good feedback on from the previous wave of System Center technologies, where it was, okay, well, I can gel these things together, but it's a little bit of work to get them to really sing together. Whereas 2012, it's all going from literally from the word go, which is great. Makes it easy for the IT pro.
It does. Well, let's take a quick look. Could you just give us a very quick demo, show us an overview of what are some of the features we have with VMware Management through Virtual Machine Manager?
So what we've got on the screen here is Virtual Machine Manager 2012. And what we can see is we've already got a host group, so a folder, an organizational hierarchy, if you will, with an ESX host or a Windows Server host in this case. But we want to add some more resources. We want to add some more VMware infrastructure into the play. So I'm going to click on my vCenter servers. And what you'll see is we've already brought in a vCenter server into the mix. So that enables us not only to manage that vCenter server and connect with it, but then subsequently go on and add ESX hosts. So it's important to note that when you bring in a management server, it's not bringing in any hosts automatically. We've got to do that as the next step. But it's very easy to bring in, point it at the name, and in you come. So let's add some resources. A And you'll notice we can add Hyper-V host, Zen Server host, or ESX host. I'm going to choose ESX host, and I need an account that's got privilege to be able to integrate with that host. So I'm going to choose this particular administrative account, go OK, next. And now you'll see it's communicated with the vCenter server that we've already brought in. It's queried what it's got management-wise, and it's given me two clusters that I could bring in. I'm going to choose this second one for now. It could be standalone hosts, it could be clusters, it doesn't matter. And I'm going to add that into the Los Angeles host group. And we'll go next, and that's it. And I could click this View Script button, and that would give me the PowerShell, that common commandlet set of PowerShell commandlets that we could use to automate this if I wanted to.
If you had dozens of clusters,
exactly.
Run a batch file, exactly. Get all of them through, yep.
That's right. So that's now imported, and we can see that if we go to Los Angeles, those two ESX hosts that are part of that cluster are being brought in, and that's going to take a few minutes. Now you'll notice it says limited, and that means that actually we've not quite finished that management process, and I'd have to go into each host and import a certificate straight from the actual ESX host, and that would then remove that limited sign, and we go to OK. And finally, if we go to our VMs and we see that our production cloud that IT has already created, we go into the properties of this. Now remember what a cloud is, it's a group of a set of resources. I'll go to my resources. You'll see now there are more hosts that we can bring in. So Los Angeles is the group, so it's brought in those extra vSphere hosts into this private cloud. We'll look at the capacity, and we can see that we can specify some boundaries for the application owners or the users of this cloud. So we're saying you can create a maximum of 100 VMs, which is very generous, actually. Should have perhaps left it as 10. And we can see from there also, if we go to capability profiles, that this private cloud is not only going to support Hyper-V-based VMs, but also ESX or VMware-based virtual machines as well. So that's very useful, very quick look, and we can go OK. And from there, once that's finished, that will now be updated in App Controller, and the application owner can then deploy applications onto not only Hyper-V hosts, but also VMware vSphere hosts within that private cloud.
Great, that was an excellent overview, but where could people go to learn more?
So people can go to, obviously, the System Center homepage, where they can download all of the 2012 bits as a single eval with the unified installer that will install it all for them. They can also go to the Server and Cloud Platform blog, which will give them more information about our competitive positioning around VMware, and also general information around System Center and Windows Server 2012. And if you're interested in managing Windows Server 2012 with VMM and System Center 2012, then you'll need the CTP2. So if you do a search in your favorite search engine, which we know will be Bing, for that particular CTP2 build of System Center 2012.
Thanks, Matt. That was a great overview.
Pleasure,
appreciate
sir.
The time. Enjoy the rest of your week here.
Thank you. You too.